Titans Call is a D&D actual play podcast containing mature themes and adult language. Listener discretion is advised. Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Titans Call, a D&D 5e actual play podcast by Double DM. I am, as always, your host Emil. I am the Dungeon Master for this group of amazing, talented, beautiful people I have in front of me. They are all waiting for their turn to speak, but as long as I speak, they can't say anything. As long as I speak, they have to keep quiet because it's my almighty power as the dictator of...
Come to me.
You have to start. Who are you?
Yeah, hi. I'm Zirke. I'm one of the players playing Guardian. And I'm hyped. That's for the current situation. A new city, a standing city. Let's find out how it goes.
Let's see how long it will stand.
Oh no.
Now that we are here, the last time we entered the city, well...
Not a good track record right there. And with that, hi, I'm Niels. I am playing Aiden French, a ex-city guard of the aforementioned destroyed city. And he is kind of hopeful that there's still a city standing to get to.
I mean, you're in front of the city. Yes, it's still standing.
Yeah, but things can change. I mean, look at the upper district of Andorra's. That changed quickly. There suddenly wasn't an upper district anymore. So a little bit of tension is there. So we will see where this is all going. And he's hoping to find some new information, some new leads, see different people that are not in the mourning period.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
Just in general, more happy folk. Mourning, like mourning death. Not the morning of the day. Mourning period. Or mourning state, whatever you want to call it. There is a verb, mourning.
You pronounced it like morning, and I was like, well, you're a city guard, maybe you always had the morning shift, so that tracks. And then I was like, but wait, why does he look so confused?
As a player, I'm more of an evening person, but hey, sure, whatever goes for you.
I mean, it is pronounced like that. What am I supposed to do? I can't.
there's a distinct difference. It's morning and mourning, you need to realize. Anyway, let's move on to our last player for today.
Well, hello there. I'm Smurf, and I'm playing Maisie Graves. And I'm really excited for the new city, which I hope won't be destroyed in the next 5 minutes. Also, I'm interested in which people we will meet and what new information we will get, especially considering the fact that people went to the city to flee. And I hope they get along here and we're welcome.
We will see if you guys are welcomed here. We will see if you guys are
foreshadowing.
Or if you guys are just gonna be turned away. No, we don't want you here. Anyway, I think, well, then let's see if you guys will get accepted into town. Last time we left off with you guys on the road. You guys were traveling from the site of destruction that was your hometown to the city of Bark, the next big settlement where many refugees, just as yourselves, have traveled to find a new life or at least get to safety. On the road you were attacked by a round of bandits which you guys quickly, and I mean quickly, disposed of in a non-lethal way. You then arrived at the city of Bark. The shadow casted by the Tree of Creation over the city standing hundreds upon hundreds of feet tall into the sky. The city of Bark, a town of magic, creativity, and expression, bloomed around it. You were met with a sign that asked you to state your full name, occupation, and purpose to a guard at the city gates. And that's where we left off last time. You guys reading that sign outside the city gates. So, what do you do? What?
I would say we don't have any time to lose, and thus can simply go inside the city if we're allowed to. I mean, are there city guards? Is there a...
You guys can march forward, yes. You can go.
Right.
That's no problem. I just want to see if you guys want to do something before you approach a guard or something.
I mean, are there glowing runes on the walls or something like that?
Make a perception check.
Oh, my... Oh, wait. I have new dice.
The excitement of new dice.
look how pretty.
I can just it's tell amazing. You that the people that are listening to this, they can't look at it.
Well, for the people out there, they look amazing.
Sorry, people listening to this. perception, you say, right?
Yeah.
It's a 9.
It's a 9? Okay. Well, with a 9, no, you don't see any glowing runes whatsoever.
All right, then...
Are there any giant beams of light coming somewhere from the city? Just checking.
Roll for perception.
I brought this upon myself, so make a perception check.
This is gonna be good. Well, that would be an 11.
Yes.
Okay.
There, you see at least 3 distinct beams of lightning. Not the size or type of beam you saw before, but different colorful beams shooting up into the sky. But these probably are magical effects of some kind that is not harmful because no one seems to be paying attention to them.
Okay, just checking on if there are any immediate dangers like we already knew mm-hmm. back in Andorra. So if there aren't any of that sort, I would also approach the city guards.
Okay, you will approach the city gate. Okay, is Caradian following suit? Is he looking for titans?
No, he's not looking for titans.
Oh, someone's normal here. Thank you very much.
Excuse me?
You know, if there was a titan, he would see it. He wouldn't need to look out for it. Because it's, well, fucking huge.
Well, okay, roll a perception check. If you're the one, you wouldn't see it.
Then 20.
Sure. Okay. It's weird. There might be a titan here. Maybe not. Maybe it is. Your senses tell you that something is off. Bada bing, bada boom, but you don't know what.
Danger! No. Danger!
No, there is no danger involved whatsoever for you guys right now. At least none that you can see or sense. No, there's nothing really quite off. It's a normal day, which, considering the last 5 to 6 days you had, is pretty uncommon.
Yeah.
You guys approach the city gates. The gates from the city of Bark loom over you. The emblem of the city, a tree, and the colors red and yellow to each side of the trunk is hung above the gates. There's a small queue of 3 people waiting their turn to pass through the gates. It doesn't appear that they are waiting long or anything, it's just that this guard is actively talking to everyone that is passing through the gates. So while you guys still have maybe 5 minutes to wait, is there anything you guys would like to discuss, or should I just skip ahead to the minute, to the moment you guys are approached?
I would like to watch whether the guards are checking for weapons or anything like that. Are they asking specific questions? Since we've got quite a few weapons on us, I want to make sure this won't be a problem.
It doesn't appear that they are actively checking. They aren't searching people or people's stuff. Most people don't carry a weapon, so you can't glean if they take kind to weaponry or not, but I would say that you know that they probably wouldn't take them away from you.
Okay.
Probably depending on the weaponry itself, right? If you have a bomb with you, they could probably say, nope, that's not going into the city, but...
Oh, well, this shouldn't be an issue. I hope.
At least I got the attitude. Inventory. Wait, let me have a look. Nah, no bombs. Got none.
Really? Okay. Oh, you guys are gonna be jokesters this session, right? Okay. You approach a city guard. You're stopped by a half orc with grayish skin, no older than maybe 23. His armor is a little too big for him, and you can see under the helmet he has brown hair, which is kind of styled back, and he says, good day there. Are you coming from the city of Andorus?
Yes, we are.
Then I will have to ask for your full name, occupation, and purpose in the city.
My name is Aiden French. I was once a city guard in Andorus, and I'm here looking for some information and respite.
you see that another guard that is standing to the side is noting everything you say down. And he looks at the other two. And you guys, what's your names, occupation, and purpose?
Hello, I'm Maisie Graves. I used to be a maid in the upper city, which is now gone. And I am, as my friends see, also... And I stop because I use the word friends, and then I think for a bit. And I'm also here to get some information. Thank you.
Thank you. And then he looks at Caradian.
Caradian does good, caretaker of the forest, information.
Well, not so formal, everyone. This half-orc boy, more or less, says, folks, please wait over here for a bit while we tend to the paperwork. And he points to the side of the city gate where you can sit down. There aren't any seats, but you can stand there and wait.
Then I will do exactly that.
I will wait as well. And I would like to look around what kind of people are coming to the city. I assume it's not refugees only?
No, it's also many of the farmers that live outside coming to the city to sell something, buy something, or tend to other work they have to do.
Do they have to declare the goods?
No.
They just move in and sell and then go out again?
Yeah.
Okay.
And after what feels like another 5 to 10 minutes, he comes up to you guys and says, okay, I will now take you to the refugee campsite. From there, you are also allowed to enter the city if needed. At the refugee site, you will be provided with bedding, food, and water, as well as some money from the city to fulfill the rest of your needs in town. And he starts walking outside the city walls.
And we're supposed to follow.
That's what he said.
I follow him, yeah.
Yeah.
I will do so as well.
I also follow. Just
so he takes you around the city gates, around the city walls, until you see this huge area of tents and tents and tents. There are many people here. There's this huge area filled with huge tents spanning a very sizable area outside the city gates. There's probably space for 5,000 to 7,000 people here. The guard talks to another guard for a bit and then turns around and says, this is Xera. She will now take care of you. I hope the city, the guard, and her and other people can help you. And then he darts off to the gates once again. So he leaves you be. Another younger guard, Xera, maybe around 22, 23, of tiefling heritage. Her skin has a greenish tint and her helmet has two very makeshift holes for her horns to fit through. The rest of her armor looks comically big for her, really. It appears that many people do not have the right armor size for them here. And it just looks weird on her to have such a big armor. There's actually places where you can see where her armor is bound with leather straps together. She's roughly 5'6", that's roughly 170 centimeters, and has a book she writes in a few notes and then smiles at you guys and says, welcome to the city of Bark. From me as well. I will escort you to your bedding now and am happy to answer all the questions you might have. Follow me, please.
I will follow her and directly would ask her a question regarding the city itself. So,
yes?
Xera, could you tell us anything how we should behave, need to behave in the city? What are the major things we need to keep track of? Anything like that?
Behave normal? Do not do any crime.
Got it.
If you can specify your question, I might be able to help better.
No, just if there were anything specific laws that might be, let's say, weird if you didn't know about them. Like, if it's not just behave normally, don't do crimes, all of that stuff, that's normal, I would say. Any forbidden areas we aren't allowed to move into, anything like that in that
if
sort of
there is an area that is restricted to you, there will either be guards or security posted where you would be able to enter, so you shouldn't be able to enter, because that's trespassing.
Okay, thanks.
The city streets are open to everyone, everywhere. There isn't any restrictions that I know of.
And how about education and libraries and schools? Are they available for everyone?
Well, of course, education should be available to everyone.
Too real, too fast.
Yes, we have a number of libraries. We have one big library, and she can theoretically point you guys towards it.
I think a description of how to get there would be sufficient.
She tells you, well, as soon as you have your beds and bedding, you would just walk through the gate, take a right turn at the big street, then walk through the marketplace, and to your left on the marketplace, you would find the library. Yeah, and she takes you further through the camp. When talking with her, you guys realize that she's trying to put on a smiling and joyous facade, but honestly, you can see that the circumstances obviously aren't happy, and she's just trying to bring a bit of joy into people's lives, probably, instead of being another grumpy guard that's just doing his job and not really trying to help people. While walking through the tent rows, a lot of people sit around, walk around, or stand around. All kinds of refugees, all kinds of people who lost their homes, just like you guys. Several people in all different shapes. Some are well, others are scarred for life. Some lost limbs, eyes, or ears. All kinds of emotions are on play. Some are making the best of it and playing cards, laughing. Kids are running around playing tag. Many are in somber moods, however. Many are by themselves staring off into the distance. Some have probably cried today or are crying right now. It's a sight of a lot of mixed emotions, with one overarching feeling, however. Safety. While many people aren't okay, they are safe. It seems all of them have a sleeping bag and a bed. It isn't really a bed, but it's more, there is something that resembles a bed that you could probably sleep in. As well as some rations of food. Xera leads you guys to one big tent and through some rows of beds and people. You see faces you might have seen before, actually. Some people might be nodding towards you guys as a sign of glad you made it. And then Xera leads you guys to three beds and says, "This is where you will be sleeping, folks. Don't worry, rations will be handed out every morning after sunrise. In these pouches, you will find 5 gold pieces each. It's not much, but it will cover small errands you need to run in the city for the time being. If you have any questions, ask them now. And if you have any later or any other queries, just ask one of the roaming guards. They should wear something just like this." And she points down at her armor, which is kind of the same as Aiden's. It's not identical, but it's also the typical guard standard uniform. It's chain mail with something underneath. It's tight, or not tight, but strong pants and boots and a helmet. And yeah, that's what she points towards. That's what she says. They should wear something like this.
Thanks a lot.
No need to thank me. I'm just doing my job. I'm trying to help people.
Are there elves inside of the city?
There probably are. There are many people inside the city. I don't know a lot of them. I know some.
Do you know elves?
Yes. Not that well, but they exist.
Great. Thanks.
No worries. Glad to help.
All right, guys. I'm a bit overwhelmed. We have so many different options to do, to choose from. So either we find some smart people, or we go to one of the libraries, or maybe all of them. We could just look around in the hopes of finding something randomly. It's a lot. What would you prefer?
Oh, what time of day is it?
It's midday.
Okay, I think first getting to know the city, walking a bit around, and maybe hitting one or two libraries sounds like a good idea, at least for the first evening.
Yeah. Oh, sounds good. We could maybe start with the biggest library she pointed us towards.
Maybe.
Also, we might want to discuss what to search for, and maybe even split up the work so it goes faster. I'm kind of in my organizing mood. Everything has to be clean and tidy and well organized.
What do you mean, what to search for? We're searching information for the Titans of Destruction, no?
But, well, yeah, but... You know, we have to ask different questions and about the elves and about the guy and about our city and about the cult and about the runes, and it's a lot. Oh, this is way too much.
So where do you want to start? You said you wanted to organize things. Then let's start there. Where do you want to start?
I would like to look up some runes and marks and special meanings because I've seen them, you know. What are you guys interested in most?
I think I will have a look around to see if I find any information about this Jack O'Haron, if there's anything more that we don't know yet.
Sounds good, yes. Caradian, what about you?
Well, I'm still totally in for information, considering the Titans of Destruction and where they came from.
Let's head out towards the library, split up, see if we find anything out, and then discuss that later.
Are we heading for the library, or are we splitting up?
I just gotta throw in this Dungeon Master with this. I've been enjoying every single interaction Gradient has with anything. It's probably not a plant or an animal, because it's just so funny seeing how you play that of, okay, yeah, I want to search that. Okay, but how do you, I search for it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I think those two aren't mutually exclusive. We can walk towards the library together, and we don't have to look at the same books. We can look at different books.
Yeah, we are looking for different
stuff. And that way, split up, you know?
If you say so.
If you want to go to another library, you can do that. I'm not stopping you.
But why would I do that if the other one is the biggest one?
I don't know.
Yeah, me neither, so... Are we waiting for something or... No? Let's go.
You know, a few months from now, people are gonna listen to this and gonna think we're total idiots.
And they are white. What?
Okay. You guys make your way towards the city. The fields of the city, as you guys know, the Tree of Creation has some strange magical effects that affect the lands around the city. For example, the fields of the city are so fertile that they allow to almost any crop grow all year round. So you see fields of corn and beans, you see ripe fields of berries, plantations of trees for nuts and fruits. It feels like the fields around the city are almost like a colorful sea of different fruits, berries, crops, anything really. It's quite the sight to behold, because it defies more or less the laws of nature a bit, that you see bananas grow at the same time as strawberries, as apples, as corn, as beans, and all of that stuff at the same time right next to each other. But it's probably also the reason why the city can afford to take in that many refugees without problem, because they have enough food. So you make your way into the city, and you will be shortly stopped at the gates, but it's nothing major. They're just gonna stop you, ask you what you want in the city. You will say you go to the library, and they will let you through. So you enter the city of Bar. The treetop casts a white shadow over the city for every sun state imaginable. So the sun is currently behind you. Yeah, you see this big tree looming over the city, kind of sparkling in the sun even. It looks very healthy, describe it best.
So there won't be a need to harm it or destroy it or stuff like that, which is forbidden.
He listened. Generally, the streets and buildings are way more colorful than those of the city of Andorra's. Built from all types of colorful clay, painted wood or bricks, makes each street like a colorful palette journey. You see reds, you see greens, blues, yellow. Sometimes the street slabs or the stones from which the cobble streets are made are painted or colored in to evoke this image of complete colorfulness that you never really saw in Andorra's, where every house was white or brown, or maybe even one of them was black or something. But generally they were all very one color, and then a red brick roof and the streets were gray of cobblestone. This city is completely different than that. It feels a lot more free, is probably the best word to describe it. You also see a lot of parks, smaller playgrounds and ponds, with benches scattered around the city, breaking open this facade of buildings and walls into a lot of small fun chunks of green where you could relax, where you could spend some free time, where you can just forget the sorrows that you all experienced over the last few days. And you make your ways further inwards into the city. You see all kinds of creatures and people walking through the city in all kinds of different attire. You see people doing different stuff. You see a silk merchant, Arakorkra, that looks like a falcon selling silks from the elven kingdom of the south. Or at least you hear him screaming that he has silks from the Kingdom of the South. You see on a storage crate planted outside one of the buildings an Owlin philosopher on this crate talking about philosophies and educating the masses for free in all kinds of different philosophizing. Yes. Lots of philosophizing. And you see, probably the weirdest creature you have ever seen in your life. It's the whole image that it evokes is that's completely off to you guys. You might have seen one of these people before, but you've never seen someone like that in that attire doing that thing. Because you see a grung. You see a red grung in a blue suit with a green tie who is performing breakdance art on the street. You see a frog breakdancer.
That's amazing. Anyway, that's amazing.
That caught me off guard.
Frogs are the best thing in the world anyway, so...
I did expect a lot from the city, but not a breakdancing frog.
It is huge. It's breakdancing, it is huge.
Yeah, that as well.
And just for the sake of this, he's gonna roll a 20 performance check to see how good he is at this. Or how good his performance is while you guys are walking next to him.
Net one.
He's not a net one. With his plus 7, it's a 19. He has rolled a 12. He has a 19 in performance. So he's doing quite good. And some people... And actually, he has this yellow hat planted outside his breakdancing area where people can throw in coin. And some people are throwing in a silver or a copper piece while they are watching him perform. Do you guys just walk past or do you stop and watch this very colorful individual do their thing?
I would like to watch.
Okay.
Yeah, Aiden would probably just walk by but slow down heavily and just keep his eyes posted on that because he's never seen anything like that.
Yeah, you've never seen anything like it. He has quite a crowd, actually. Like 5 to 6 people are standing around watching his performance right now. And when he finishes, he stands up and he bows a bit. Some people actually are clapping and then cheering him on. And then he says in this grung voice, "I am Hip Hop Skip McGee, and I will be here all day."
You can't tell us we're going to have a funny episode and then do that. Oh no.
That's going into the notes.
Oh no.
There will be a picture of this at some point.
Oh yes. I would like to... does he have a cup placed on the floor or something?
Yeah,
like that?
Yeah, he has a yellow hat placed on the floor.
Okay, I would like to put some coins, like small coins, into his hat.
Mm-hmm.
And watch maybe for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. He gives you a gesture. He nods towards you, indicating a thank you, while he is already getting ready for his next performance. How much coin did you throw in? Because the coin purse you got from the city was 5 gold pieces. So 5 individual pieces of gold. I'm just gonna ask, how much money do you want to give him? Because I will give you that much. There will be something special happens if he gets enough money.
I would like to give him 5 silver.
Mm-hmm. He looks into his hat and... Okay, because for the sake of this, I don't want to keep this hidden from you anyway. He's gonna do his special performance, which is... He's gonna... Because he's a frog, he can walk on water.
Oh no!
Well, at least D&D doesn't say he can, but I say he can because I'm the dungeon master of this game. So he's gonna actually climb onto the wall and gonna start breakdancing. He's gonna perform for probably 3 more minutes, hanging from the wall.
Oh my god.
And he has to roll another performance check for that. Because it would be very funny if he falls now. Nope, not gonna do it. It's a 17. It's not that impressive as the first, but I think the fact alone that he's doing it on a wall is impressive enough.
This is amazing. I would like to clap, like, really loudly.
Hip hop Skip Mickey.
I'm Hop Skip Mickey.
Breakdancing on the wall.
That's a sight to behold.
I want out of this so bad. Oh my god.
Same. I'm gonna try, but
Okay, you guys watch Hip Hop Skip Mickey for a few more minutes doing his performance, jumping up and down from the walls, break dancing, and yeah, you clap, you cheer, and at some point you're probably gonna realize that you should probably move on because you have a busy schedule ahead or you have a lot of stuff to do. And then you realize, like, you spent nearly half an hour here watching this frog to break dancing because it was kind of mesmerizing even to watch him do that.
Well, it was an amazing performance, right?
It was a good performance, yeah. So you guys make your way further towards the market square where you were supposed to, or where you wanted to go. You make your way over one of the two rivers flowing through the city and walking over this bridge that, now that you think about it, isn't a real bridge. It's a bridge that has grown from one of the roots of the Tree of Creation. It's one of the roots has grown in this bridge-like structure and then been modified by the people living here to actually function as a bridge. But it wasn't carved or anything from the root. It's the root growing and then people mounting safety on top of that so you don't fall into the river while you're walking across the bridge. But yeah, so you're walking over this bridge of tree root and it's massive. I mean, this root is thicker than most normal trees, you know. And it's just the root of this tree.
How do people behave nearby?
What do you mean with nearby?
Other people looking at the root or the tree? Are they just ignoring it? Is it something normal? Are they paying respect? Are they afraid? How do they act towards it?
They do behave normal. They do behave as if this is one of the most normal things for their lives. Yeah. They are not looking like they're paying respect or anything. They are just walking across the bridge, treating it like a normal bridge, really.
All right.
You guys walk through more streets, and there are, next to these colorful buildings and all different types, there are many building walls that have been reused as street art canvases. All kinds of different masterpieces have been painted onto buildings and been made from these buildings even. You see, one painting shows that the city of Bark in a landscape style painting with a beautiful sunset being cast from behind the tree. A wizard with a lot of magical spell effects twinkling, sparkling and dancing around him. One of you guys make a perception check while looking at this painting.
I will go ahead and do that. That's a dirty 20.
Then you realize rather quickly that some of these magical effects are actually moving a little bit, just that little bit, to make the painting feel dynamic and moving, kind of alive even. It's kind of like as if the magic that is portrayed in this image is actually real magic. You see another painting that's a beautiful blue sky with three different birds, colorful birds, flying through it, ripping it open to reveal a starry night sky in their path. It's a very beautiful, colorful city. None of you have experienced like that before. You've all been have grown up in Andorra's or around Andorra's, so you have never experienced a city so focused on being colorful and being different that it's a nice tapestry change, so to speak, for you guys. And I assume you guys are making your way further to the city library, or do you make a detour, or what? Okay, you're gonna go further to the library. So yeah, you would reach the city square where the library is supposed to be. It's a busy marketplace. There are many people selling and buying goods here. You see all kinds of fruit and vegetables and other products, especially nutrition and food products are being sold here. Some exotic fruits you have never heard or seen before. You see all kinds of different people, and it's a bustling street. It's as nearly as if for Aiden, it's kind of like the day it happened.
Okay.
It's a return to normal.
Yeah, and once we reach the marketplace, you would stop for a couple of seconds, maybe even a minute, and just breathe in deeply, take all the action around him in all of this bustling of streets, vendors crying and shouting out their wares and whatever. At some point closing his eyes and imagine he was back at the rebuilt or pre-destroyed marketplace of Andorra's and back to a normal life.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for Kuradian, he would probably stop too, but with kind of the opposite effect of what Aiden is having. It's like so much going on, so many people, everyone is like shouting around. It's too much to take in, so he's trying to blend part of it out, but I don't think it really works.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. Something along the lines of normality.
It kind of feels like a whole other world.
Yeah.
If you get it.
Oh, yeah. But it feels chaotic, but with structure to it. At least to some degree.
Yeah. It feels familiar, although the things that used to feel familiar are now gone, so... It's kind of confusing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is confusing, but I don't think it's familiar. At least not for me. And you guys missed this?
Kind of, yes. I mean, it's something we've been used to. It's how we used to live the past few years. Imagine someone took away your forest, and after a long while, you'd be able to see one again. Imagine how that would feel.
You see him blink quite a few times. I don't think I can imagine that.
I hope you will never lose your forest.
I'm quite sure the forest will outlive us all.
Should we continue then?
I think so, yeah.
Please.
Okay, you see the library from here. It's a big building built from massive stones and bricks next to the big marketplace. With a big canopy over its free entrance. No doors or walls, just a big gap that allows people to walk to the front entrance hall of the library. And I assume you guys enter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least I do.
Okay. Well, 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 dear listener. Welcome to the mid-roll of episode 7 of Titan's Call. I hope you've had a great time listening so far and will enjoy listening further once I'm finished with the typical mid-roll stuff. Mid-roll stuff, right? As always, I'm just going to ask you very quickly to leave a review for this podcast, for this show. On your podcasting app, it only takes like 2 clicks and writing a single sentence of, wow, this show's great, I love it so much. Okay, that would be 2 sentences maybe, but you get the idea. Just type in a few words, press a few buttons, and give us 5 stars, give us a review. It really helps us out. It gets the show out there and helps us brave the storm, brave the waves, and brave everything that the algorithm throws at us so we can get the show out in front of more people's eyes and or ears. Yes, more... But yeah, obviously do that. Follow us on social media wherever you want to find us. We are probably there at DoubleDM, at DoubleDMPod on Twitter or X, as some people might want to call it. I'm still calling it Twitter. Fuck that. As well as Instagram at DoubleDMPod, on Blue Sky at DoubleDM. We're on Tumblr, TikTok. Add us there. Follow us there to find out more about our shows, what we're doing, and interact with us. Talk to the team, talk to us, and... get to know us. I don't know. I have nothing else. I'm pretty stressed. I have nothing else right now for this one. So yeah, I'm just going to send you right back to the show. Have fun. So you entered this currently empty hall. Well, not empty necessarily. Empty that there is no other person in there. But you see at the big reception desk featuring 4 armed automatons writing different documents and paper at an incredible pace and speed. Working together, writing documents and stamping them and reading them and then distributing them. And it feels like a well-oiled machine, or 5 machines rather.
Has anyone of you ever seen that?
What are they?
Okay. Maisie, did you see anything like that? Ever?
No, I haven't. It's a new one for me too.
Has anyone of you ever seen metal move itself?
I mean, if someone threw it or something fell down, then yes.
Yeah, then it wouldn't be moving itself. It would have been thrown, but I don't see anyone moving.
Maybe it's an animal?
Well,
made out of metal?
Let's see. And I would just walk up towards the reception.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello.
Excuse me for asking that, but I've never seen something like you. What are you?
We are Bing.
You all are Bing?
In the row, from left to right, they go Bing 1, Bing 2, Bing 3, Bing 4, Bing 5.
Okay.
And they're not slowing down, by the way. They're still working at this incredible pace that is even too quick for your eyes to catch. Sometimes.
Oh my god.
Their hands are moving very fast.
Bing,
yes.
We are looking for some specific information regarding a Jack O'Haron. Do you know if you have any books regarding that?
Jack O'Haron, Explorer. Yes, we have books.
Where can I find those?
Do you have a library card?
No.
Then you will need to get one.
How can I get a library card?
Please fill out these documents, and you see 5 documents being slid over the table towards you.
Okay. Then I will have a look at them and fill them out as asked.
You fill them out. They are asking for your name, for all different kinds of stuff, where you live and what you do. Yeah, it's just general information they are asking for you from you.
Mm-hmm.
And you fill everything out.
Yep.
It shouldn't be too hard to fill that out for you.
I just slide the documents back over to Bing. Number whatever I talk to, I guess 1.
Okay. If you talk to 1, then you talk to 1. And with an incredible speed, these documents are picked up and carried through the chain, more or less. And then carried back again, and some stuff is being written on, some stuff is being stamped. And then Bing 1 looks at you. You don't know where its eyes are, so it's hard to discern if it's actually looking at you, or if the thing that is called its head is just pointed in your direction, or if it even has a head. You don't know, but it looks at you. Then there is actually this small document being slid across the table once again to you. It's a paper. Welcome to the library, Aiden Fringe.
Thanks, Bing 1. That is strange.
What is strange?
This, and I point towards the Bings. I've never seen anything like it before.
We are not strange. We are just the library automation system.
Well, I have never seen the library automation system before.
Welcome to the library.
Thanks. Okay. Okay, back to the question. Where can I find the books about Jack O'Haron?
Jack O'Haron, Explorer. History books found in room 5.
And where would that be?
You go through the door to my right and then walk at the end of the hallway to your left.
Okay, thanks.
My pleasure.
Then just go back to the other two. Okay, that was interesting, confusing, interesting. I don't know. You have to experience it. Hard to explain. But they have books about Jack O'Haron, so I guess there may be some information on the other things we're looking for.
That's amazing news.
And just a quick thing. Those things are the library automation system, whatever that may be, and are called Bing 1, Bing 2, Bing 3, Bing 4, and Bing 5.
It's, oh my god, it's a sum from 1 to N. Bing I. Oh, sorry.
Sorry, I can't laugh about stuff I have in university.
You say Bing 1, Bing 2, Bing 3, Bing 4, and Bing 5.
Yeah.
And which Bing did you talk to?
Bing 1, just because they were the first in the line of Bings.
I was the first Bing.
All right, I would like to shoot my shot as well, and
just a quick thing, I'm going towards the books about Jack O'Haron. Let's meet in front of the library in about how late in the day is it? Would I guess that we have still 3 hours of daylight left? Maybe 4?
You would have around roughly exactly 3 hours of daylight.
Okay, then let's meet in roughly exactly 3 hours in front of the library.
At sunset.
Or that. Just talk to the Bings. It will just especially mess with your head, I guess. Or it doesn't... I don't know what I'm saying anymore. Okay, see ya. And just walk towards the described room 5.
Okay.
All right.
I would like to walk up the bings.
To which bing are you walking up to?
The same one in front was in front of.
So bing one, okay.
I guess bing one. Hello, bing one, bing two, bing three, bing four, and bing five.
And in a row, bing one, bing two, bing three, bing four, and bing five all say hello, 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 hello.
You are the library automation system?
Library automation system, but yes.
And what is a library automation system?
We are a system that makes sure every book in the library is accounted for and documented correctly. We also hand out library cards and take in books from people that have borrowed them and bring them back. We make sure that the library runs smoothly and efficiently.
The library can run?
I think it just doesn't answer that question.
Just broke the bings.
I think just like the search machine, Bing doesn't have a single answer for that.
And not as a whole, but as a single one, what are you, Bing One?
I am Bing One.
Yeah, but is Bing One your name or your type, your species, your family?
I don't have a species. I am Bing One.
What do you mean you have no species? Are you living?
I have been built by our creator. And I have been made to be part of the library automation system.
And who is your creator?
Bing Zero.
Shut up! Wrong idea.
Our creator is named Arivor Darkstand.
Arivor Darkstand.
Correct. Why do you require that information?
I just want to know what you are, and if all you can say is that you are being and built by your creator. Maybe your creator can give me another answer.
I don't think that you can ask our creator.
Why not?
He is not here.
And where is he?
We don't know.
No.
And as you're talking to that Macy, you see that someone else is walking into the library with a stack of books, and it's just placing them next to Bing 5. And Bing 5 swoops the stack up and hands it to 4, hands it to 3, and 3 hands it to the wall where the small compartment opens and the books get pushed through, and the compartment slow closes again, and Bing 3 pulls their arm back in and starts working on the papers again. And then the person just walks out again.
Oh, that's nice. So this is how you return books?
Do you ask one of the automatons?
Yes, I would like to ask Bing 3.
Yes, that is how books are returned at this library.
So you can take books with you and then bring them back later?
As long as you have a library card.
Can I make a library card? Can you make me one?
You need to fill out the necessary documentation, but then we will hand you a library card.
And do you know where every book in this library is?
We have preliminary information about the contents of this library. We are not an encyclopedic knowledge of every single book. Because if that would happen, we wouldn't need the books anymore.
That's true, but
we do know where most of the books are stored. We know their basic contents.
How long did it take you to learn all this?
Approximately 7 seconds.
You must be really smart.
I wouldn't call myself smart. I would call myself optimized.
Do you have the books for me, please?
You look down at the table. The documents are already planted there. As you ask that question, yes, you have the documents. You can fill them out.
Yeah, I would like to fill them out and give them back.
Okay, while you're filling them out, what is Curadian doing with Bing One?
Okay, so your creator is not here. Do you know when he might return?
I do not have any information on the whereabouts or time of return of our creator.
Do you know if there are other people who know more about you?
There are a few people that know more about us.
Oh, and where can I find them?
You could ask Professor Graham Bart. He is currently in the library doing research. He might know more about us.
Oh, and where can I find Professor Graham Bart?
Professor Graham Bart can be found in room 4.
Thanks. And I would like to turn and walk towards room 4.
Okay. Macy, you fill out the last documents and put them back. Bing 3 takes them and they get whooshed around in the swirl of 20 different arms. Suddenly you have a card in front of you that says Macy Graves and is basically your library card. You can use to... It has your name and it has also a unique number on it that probably the automatons will use to know which books you've borrowed and which you returned.
Okay. I would like to thoroughly inspect my new library card because I haven't had something like that before. And then I would like to turn back to Bing 3. Bing 3?
Yes.
Can you give me some insights on the whereabouts of books on runes and marks?
Arcane runes and glyphs can be found in room 23.
Okay, and I would like to make sure that no one's listening somehow.
Currently only one Bing 1 to 5 are listening to you.
Okay, I would also like to know the whereabouts of books on, you know, something like birthmarks and something like that.
Books on birthmarks and other bodily features can be found in room 12.
Okay, thank you. I would like to look towards Caradian, who is probably...
Gone.
Oh, he's gone. All right. Okay, then I look around. No one's here. And I would like to go to room 23 and look for some information on runes.
You can go to room 23 to look on runes. Aiden, you walk into room 5. It's a huge room filled with 3 floors of bookshelves upon bookshelves upon bookshelves that are all these heavy old tomes on history.
Mm-hmm. And I would start to look for anything that mentions adventurers or explicitly the name Jack O'Haron.
Okay, so you do that. Macy, you enter and you kind of see the same. You see a big room filled with books upon books, but with some different other features, you could say. There are weird tapestries, blank white tapestries hung from the ceiling that are just dangling in the room. You don't know what they are for, but they are there. There's actually a smaller automaton currently in the room with you.
Mm-hmm.
You hear this creaking little wheel of a library card being pushed through the room. And you also see how this automaton is reshelving books at a very quick pace.
Mm-hmm. First, I would like not to disturb the automaton because, you know, it looks busy. Mm-hmm. So I would like to start on looking for information myself.
Mm-hmm.
If the room is bigger than I expected, then after a while I would still like to ask for help. But for now, I just let it work and look for stuff that has to do with titles or disappearing stuff, writing on walls and, you know, anything that comes to my mind about... runes of walls and disappearing cities.
You try to throw the information you have into this black box of a library room and try to come up with some information.
Okay. I wouldn't try for too long, though.
But before we get to that, Caradian, you walk into room 4. Room 4 is another one of these huge library rooms filled with books upon books upon books. Yeah, that's what you see. It's a huge room with a lot of tomes. There's actually an area where you can write stuff, you would say. It kind of looks like a library room with a small scripture area and maybe even, it's not a laboratory, you would say, but some kind of instruments to maybe do something to books. Maybe restore them or maybe take pages apart. Maybe probably to handle very old books so they don't break or crumble.
Do I see someone else inside the room?
Make a perception check.
13.
You do not see someone, but you do hear someone who is currently... as it seems to be working on something, and you hear them. Something in the back of the room.
I would like to walk to the back of the room towards the humming person.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You are allowed to do that.
Thanks.
As you make your way to the back of the room, you see a person. They are around the same height as you. Oh, well, no, are you tall or are you not?
Well, it depends on how you define tall. From my player perspective, yes.
Well, he's a very tall figure, but very slim as well. He has, you can see the unkept long wiry hair. He's wearing some kind of brown simple robes with a satchel that can carry a few books inside it. And you think you can faintly see that on their arms, there are some glowing markings. Maybe it's tattoos, or maybe it's something different, but there are some glowing marks on their arms. And yeah, you hear them humming.
But it's one person, yeah?
Yeah.
Hello, Professor Grimbard?
Yeah, that's me. And he slowly turns around and starts looking at you.
Oh, hello.
Hello, young boy. What do you want?
Well,
how can I help you? Are you in pursuit of knowledge?
Yes.
Because I can help with that.
That's great. Being one told me you might know more about, well, the beings.
I do know some stuff about the beings.
What are they?
Automatons.
What
machines?
Is
magic and metal. That's what they are.
Magic and metal. Ah, yes.
They are very interesting creatures, if I do say so myself. But they are a little peculiar. As if Arivor didn't wire them right. Or maybe that was his design, but sometimes they seem a bit weird to me.
So the creator was a gnome. And
yes. Yes, of course.
He wired them?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, they have to work somehow. And that's how wires come into play. They need to have some wires to move their arms, after all.
I tilt my head. And a wire is some kind of magic, or...?
Well, you see, son. When you would cut open your arm, you would have some...
pain.
Yes, that is also true, yes. But you would also have some tendons in there, right?
I guess.
And that is... but these things need as well to move their arms. If I cut your tendon, you cannot move your hand.
So they are not magic.
It's a complicated process.
But they are natural.
Well...
do they reproduce?
No, they do not. At least not by any means we understand. They could theoretically build another one of their own. Would that be reproduction?
I don't know.
It's actually a quite extreme thought to think that we can create a species of things that start thinking on their own and then start building their own. There's maybe not enough much time before they take over our world.
Well, I mean, do they possess magic?
Well, they are made with magic. They do not possess any magical abilities.
Well, if they do not possess magic, how can they build something with magic?
They might find a way. Which is also quite scary to think about.
But that means their creator is both a smith and a magician?
An arcane smith, yes.
Hmm.
That is, I think, the right description for what he does, mostly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He builds constructs for a living and then enchants them so they can walk around and entertain kids or work for the library.
He has built more than just Bing 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5?
Yes, he has also built Shelf 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21.
He has built shelves.
No, he has built the shelving automatons, and then you see one of them wheeling into the room, starting to reshelf. That is shelf. Where's the number 12?
Can shelf number 12 speak as well? Shelf number 12, can you speak?
Yes, I can speak. Do you need assistance with anything?
No thanks, I'm already being helped. And I point at the professor.
Okay. Then shelf 12 just goes away and carries on with their duty. So yes, that's what he built as well. But he also built toys for kids, or he builds things for performance shows and entertainment, and yeah, he builds a lot of weird stuff.
Okay, yeah. Is he the only one who can build stuff like that?
Oh, no. There are many people that can build stuff like he can, but it's a difficult process.
It's not uncommon?
I would call it rare.
Oh, mm-hmm.
But he's not the only one.
Okay, well... yeah, thanks for your help. Now I know more, but I'm not quite sure I understand. But, well, there are other things I need to look up.
Well, I was happy to help. If you need anything else, you can always ask me. Why? Oh, well, I have to ask a question now. Yeah?
Yeah.
Why are you here again? Did you just want to know about the automatons, or...
Do you mean the library, or here in the room with you, or in the city, or...
In the library, of course. I always want to know why is someone in the pursuit of knowledge.
I am at the library to see if I can find any information on the Titans of Ruination or Titans of Destruction, what they are called by Elven scholars.
And that's where we will end tonight's episode. And we will see you all next time for episode 8 of Titans Call, where we will be having library adventures and... Yay. I don't know what else will happen. But see you then, people.
Bye-bye.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye.